You will see in your bulletins that we have a handout that includes many passages of Scripture having to do with faith and belief, and this is a slight variation on the handout that we gave last week, and one of the variations is that, you know, right up top, I just included a quote that I referred to last week that a couple people had asked for, a quote from Henry Ford, not scripture, but good information. And then I'm going to be sharing some of these today. We're going to refer to some similar ones that we dealt with last week and some other ones as well, and then they are all for you to take home and let them work on you during the week and through your life, really. The first one that I'm going to refer to, that we're going to lift up, is from Matthew 9:2, and just a little backstory on this passage that you can read when you check out the fuller passage. What's happening here is this is a group of supporters and friends of a person who was paralyzed, sick in some way, so that he couldn't move, and they wanted to take him to Jesus to get some help, to get healed in some way. And so they approach the home there in Capernaum, and seeing that they couldn't get through the crowd of people who were surrounding this small home, what they did is that they didn't let that stop them. They carried him there to begin with. They made it to the house, saw that it was, they couldn't get through, so they carried him up a ladder. Every roof, every home had a ladder that led to the flat roof. They got him onto the flat roof, which was no small task. They didn't let the roof stop him. They ended up dismantling a section of roof, and then somehow they found a way to lower him into the interior of the home where Jesus was. And the scripture then says about that, it says, "And behold, they brought to him," to Jesus, "a paralytic lying on his bed." And it says, "And when Jesus saw their faith," that is the faith of the group of friends, "he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" And we hear later, I think it's in verse 8, that this man got up and he walked. Next, a little bit later in Matthew 9:22, we hear Jesus turned and seeing a woman who had obviously taken some effort to come to him for help and healing, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. One of the things in this little passage, just very quickly, is that we realize that an instant, when it says an instantly she was made well, that an instant at least includes all of the decisions and the work and the effort that it took her to get to that place to begin with. So that's an instant. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we'll be looking at this passage more from St. Paul, that says we walk by faith and not by sight. From James 2:14-17, what does it profit if a man says that he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? Faith by itself, he says, if it has no works, is dead. And finally, from 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, "I've fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith." So may God bless our hearing, our understanding, our embodiment, our integration of these words for our life, these words that open the door, that shine a light on the path to a fuller and abundant life. Amen. So this is part two, and I tell you, I don't think that I've ever referred to a previous illustration, especially from the week before, And last week, I was talking about, I mentioned at one point, about a time when I was running the marathon, my fourth marathon, Chicago Marathon, 2.5 years ago, and when I was at mile 13 and the endorphins kick in and I was feeling fantastic, and I came up upon a woman, and she had been ahead of me for the first 13 miles, and at the moment when I saw her, my heart and my mind was wonderfully and profoundly shaken up and inspired by what I saw. Because as I mentioned, she had been ahead of me for 13 of those 26 miles. I was doing pretty well for myself. I was running about a 9-minute pace or so. She also was looking strong and euphoric, as we all were. The difference was, as I mentioned, she was running with no legs. She had prosthetic legs with springs for feet. And at that instant, my brain was just flooded with just this wash of, you know, what kind of faith is going on with her? What kind of determination is going on? What kind of attitude? What kind of inner strength? What kind of discipline? What kind of vision? What kind of belief system is going on with this woman? That when it comes down to it, what happened with this person to go from having no legs at one point in her life to saying, I'm going to run 26 miles on artificial legs, to I'm going to go through the series of appointments and fittings, which I'm sure includes many misfittings, with the pain, I'm going to go through the discomfort, because you know it's not fluffy and comfortable. I'm going to go through not just the planning and preparation that usual marathoners do, but I'm going to go through the additional planning and preparation and hassles and mental and physical toughness, and not just to make the decision, not just to go one day, you know what would be great? That'd be great would be to run a marathon having no legs, but to make that decision and then actually do something about it. That's the powerful thing. And not just to make that decision once, but to make that decision and do something about it the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and putting these pearls on the string and stringing them one by one. Each time with repeated faith and works, again and again and again, to go from couch with no legs, to go from disability and probably despair. You know that there was some kind of despair at some point. To go from one level of disability or ability to running 26 miles and doing it well. And yet, at the end of the day, she still had no legs. So, as I see it, the way I see it, is that it was through this repeated series of faith and works that she moved mountains. And the reason why I repeat this illustration is because, you know, this is something that I experienced 2.5 years ago. This is something I shared last week. And after sharing it, it brought it back to life and to mind again. And you know what? All week long, this was working on me. And since it was working on me, I wanted to give the gift to you again so that it might work on you. Because it not only made me think about her and what was going on within her, but it made me think about me. And it made me think about what I believe. And it made me think about how I live my faith and how I follow up with that faith, or how I sometimes fail to follow up with faith as much as I would like with works. And sometimes I think, you know, wouldn't this be great to do, but don't follow through with it? I'm sure that happens with you sometimes. I think about the required supporting action of faith. You know, we talk, you know, faith without works. Well, faith and works, really, when it comes down to it, it's not one and the other. It's the same thing. Makes me think about what results happen and what is gained and what is not gained respectively when we do or don't do this combination of power. I think about our scripture. I think about how Jesus deals with this issue of faith, with this understanding. When he says faith, what does it mean to him? and how he understands the word faith as really, you know, you look at it and it's a power, it's a kind of power and force that gives us an ability to manipulate matter and the world around us and ourselves and our response to it, and to be able to transform what we might take as fate or life doing things to us, and to use this power as a gift from God to work with what God wants to have happen ideally. And this is the difference between faith and positive thinking. Some people say, well, isn't that just positive thinking? No. Faith is working with what God wants. What does God want? People go, I don't know. How do you even know what God wants? You know, it's all relative. No, it's not true at all. We know, and we're told very clear, what does God want? Lift the downtrodden, which includes ourselves and others. What does God want? To live life abundantly for ourselves and for others. To live a life of love, to be able to express that love fully, not to minimize ourselves or others, to express the gift of life fully and freely and so on. For us to use the power of faith just as we use the other gifts of God, our hands, our eyes, our feet, our minds, if we choose. And to do so for our benefit and for the benefit of others. And that's faith versus positive thinking. And I think about Jesus saying, you know, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And we see what he's talking about is not magic. How Jesus turned to a woman and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, your faith made you well. And we think about, what did it take for her to even get to him? Think about James saying, faith by itself, if it has no works, if it doesn't have that supporting action, it's dead. So faith's not positive thinking, and faith isn't wishing either. It's not wishing for something to happen. Wishing doesn't require anything from ourselves. Wishing is asking somebody or something else to do it for us. Faith requires you. Without works, it's nothing. It doesn't work without the works. So I think about the Apostle Paul saying, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, and saying, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. So I thought about this a lot this last week of this woman marathoner with no legs, and I believe that she was healed through her faith, and by the faith of others as well. And I think about Paul saying, because of their faith, you were healed. Because when we think about it, you know, somebody developed those prosthetic legs, didn't they? Through no little effort. Somebody through tremendous continued dedication and determination did that. Someone helped her with a therapy, the therapist, the person who built the office building. Somebody probably drove her. We know that somebody drove her, at least at the beginning, to the therapy and to the appointments. Somebody probably, at some point said, you know what, you can do this. I know that initially you started, you wanted to, you know, you've gotten down a little bit. You know what? You can do it. Come on, let's try one more time. And you know what? That person, I bet, maybe didn't receive thanks at that time. Maybe received some pretty nasty feedback. But you know what? She and others moved mountains by faith to get there. And yet, well, you know, the interesting thing is, while I believe that she was healed and had powerful faith and astounding results, I thought about the fact that in spite of this, in the end, she still had no legs, right? Her faith did not grow her legs back. So her faith did not remove her problem. And what I'm very aware of, because I hear it often, and I talk to people who say things like this, and you do too, they say, well, you know, yeah, but she didn't get her legs back. So, you know, the accident didn't become an unaccident. So, you know, what's this about God? What's this about faith? Come on. Technical term, those people are officially known as downers. Downers. The opposite of faith. And you know what? If somebody wants to be a downer, anti-faith, that's their choice. They've always been there and they always will. But all this says volumes about what faith is and what faith is not. Which is that healing and faith is without question in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? It says volumes about what do you pray for? How does God meet us in our struggles? Do we pray for new legs? Or the ability to have the strength and courage and resources to deal with what we have got? Not wishing for that to go away. Not praying for God to reverse time, but to deal with reality, to deal with the strongest and healthiest way possible, to work within the realm of God's possibilities, within the matrix of what is possible and potential. The growth of new legs and reversing time is not within that realm of possibilities. So I keep thinking about this woman with no legs as a metaphor in so many ways for all of our lives, where for one thing, she was healed by her faith. Or was she? She moved mountains with her faith. Or did she? She still had no legs. Or did she? Flesh? Titanium? Which is the miracle? What is the answer to prayer? What does it look like? How does it happen? And collectively, isn't this the predicament that we all face? Isn't this what a lot of what this journey of life is all about, especially after we hit 30, but really at every age, you know? We're always finding that we've got to live with our finite abilities, that, you know, we don't have superpowers. We're not superhuman. Each of us has our own particular mix. Every single person has some particular mix of things we can do and things we can't do. Every person has abilities, and we have disabilities. No one's a superhero possessing them all, so we all have to face how we live with our abilities and with our disabilities. Because ultimately, you know, we all face death. Nobody lives here forever. No one gets through life unscathed, without illness, without accidents, without trauma, without injury, without heartache. We all get our heart broken, so we're nothing special. We are all betrayed. Have you been betrayed? So have I. We all deal with some kind of failure. Nobody has all the looks. Nobody has the perfect height, whatever that is. Nobody has, you know, the most powerful brain and, you know, impeccable parents. We all get our legs taken out from under us in so many different ways. So we all live with a choice, as did this woman, as did the people in the scriptures, of how we proceed every day, 100 times a day, with faith or not. We choose faith or we choose not faith. Because not faith is also a choice. Not faith is a belief system. How do we deal with it when our faith is questioned, when our faith is tested, when life chips away at us, when life takes our legs out from under us, when we lose our job, when we get rejected by a friend or by a lover, when we face a mental, physical challenge, when we have to recover from something? And the thing is, the other part of the truth is that we all face blessings multiple times a day. Our brain keeps firing most of the time. Many of us still have use of our hands, our fingers, our legs, our eyes and ears. We may be blessed with someone who will give us an encouraging word, or lift us up, or a hug, or a kick in the pants. We may not be living in the midst of a bloody civil war. We may not be having to breathe nuclear smog. Our blessings, too, are endless. Or are they? Depending on your faith. What do you see? Well, how do you interpret that? According to some, we have a pretty raw deal here, depending on our faith. Our faith says, what do you do about all this? Blessings and adversities, abilities and roadblocks. What do you pray for? New legs, for your problems to disappear, things to be easy. You know, we say, you know, we hear a phrase, you know, to be a person of faith. Are you a person of faith? What do you think of? You know, most people, probably rightly so, we think about us. What do I think? How am I doing? What am I doing with my life? We think about I, me, and my. You know, to be a person of faith also means to be a person of faith for others. To be a person of faith, to disseminate that, to give that, to commit to that to others, to be that strength for others, to be that person of encouragement for others, to be that angel, to be that miracle, to make that happen when you have something that can do good for someone else. We walk by faith, not by sight. To live with faith. So last story. The other day I was driving down the post road in Fairfield, and it was kind of across from the Exide battery plant where they're doing all that work. And there was a guy who was walking on the sidewalk, and he was all by himself, but he had the white cane, totally by himself, on the streets of Fairfield. So much traffic and everything, and he was making it away from one point to the other. And all of a sudden, I noticed, and it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen here? Because he was approaching a piece of the sidewalk that was all torn up, and so it was all barricaded off. And I couldn't do anything immediately, and so I just had to kind of watch this, you know, wreck in slow motion. And he approached it, and it's like, boom, and he taps it, and boom, 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 boom. And it was fascinating. What is he going to do? Taps the barricade with his cane. Doesn't crumble down and fall down. Doesn't get all angry and start, you know, emoting. Doesn't break his cane. You know, doesn't start kicking the barricades or something. Oh, stupid barricades. Doesn't start saying, oh my, you know, getting everybody's, can you believe this? Can you believe this? If he had a horn, he wouldn't start like laying on his horn. He pokes around, he gets the landscape, and miraculously makes it around the barricade and continues on his way. And I said to myself, I'll be darned, I just saw it happen. Walking by faith and not by sight. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, this guy, what would I feel like if somebody, blinded me or all of a sudden I can't see anywhere and they drop me in the middle of Fairfield and they give me a long white stick and in the midst of cars whizzing by and stuff and they go, good luck. When we say we're a person of faith, we're not just talking about ourselves. We realize that we're in this whole network of love and help, and we can be that faith. We can be that sight for others. When I'm having a bad day and I'm looking at, everything that's going wrong, I might remind myself of my sight. So here are the questions for today. Do I pray for new legs? And if I pray for new legs, and if what I'm offered is titanium, is that a failure or a success? Do I pray for the ability, perseverance, strength to try again, to find new ways to fight the good fight? Because you know what? It's clear. It's right here. It's a fight. Three, what is healing? Four, what's reasonable within God's design? Does anybody come 100% equipped, software preloaded, to be able to deal with every possible challenge? And finally, faith is a choice. And it's a choice and it's a commitment, along with all the effort that goes along with that we make again and again and again and again and again. Faith is a choice. Not faith is also a choice. You flip a switch and you choose, and choose again and again. You fight for it, and you do so not alone, but with the faith of so many. We fight for it with God's help. What is your faith? What is your fight? Amen.